Welcome to the I'm Still Here podcast. I'm your host, Heather Jose. In 1998, at the age of 26, I was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. It changed everything for us, but I'm still here. And we're here to talk to you about life with metastatic disease. We know it's not easy. We know that there are challenges that never get talked about, but we're here to walk with you through them, to show you some hope, some inspiration, and to help you make a plan so that you can join me in saying, I'm still here.
Welcome back.
It's a double welcome back. Woo! Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah.
So this is the thing. Every time I listen to our podcast, I go, oh, I never say, if you like this podcast, you should share it with somebody else or you should give us a good review.
It's kind of pandering.
But everybody does it.
Yeah, but don't you think they would anyway if they liked it?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I'm inspired by when people say to me, like, these reviews really matter. Like, please post a 5-star review. Or please make sure you're following our podcast. I feel like we've had some growth over the time that we've been doing this. And thank you for everybody who just kind of sticks with us. I really appreciate that. But, like, the goal is to keep growing, right? And to be reaching the people that really need or could benefit from listening to us, right? Yeah. So, it would be so cool if people would share this with their oncologist or share it with their, you know, support groups or whatever. Like anti-support group. But anyway, you know, share it with the people who are in your life that could benefit. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, or just nothing else to start a conversation. If you don't like something that's going on
with that person,
you go, hey, would you just happen to listen to this? And then you can have a discussion about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or find an episode that really speaks to you and say, hey, this is why I'm thinking this, or this is really how I feel, and I didn't know how to say that.
This crazy chick Heather said.
She says whatever she wants.
Yep.
Anyway, so speaking of that, I wanted to talk today a little bit about less is more. This has kind of come out of a lot of times, like when I'm thinking about what to talk about, it's kind of what I'm hearing or seeing on the different places that, you know, people are talking about metastatic breast cancer. So, this is kind of came from a post or something that I saw where somebody was just really disappointed with being diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer and not going like head first into a ton of treatment in terms of like chemotherapy or, dare I say, a stem cell transplant, right? Because I do feel like I totally understand the feeling of, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Let's get rid of this, right?
Yep.
But
which was your experience?
Which was my experience. Absolutely.
26 years ago.
Yeah. But now, like, being on the other side of all of that treatment and still living with the side effects of many things, I just feel like it has to be viewed differently. Doctors are not trying to provide less treatment by any means. They are absolutely intent on killing cancer and keeping it, you know, keeping you stable and giving you the best quality of life along with that.
I mean, the major difference between today and 25 years ago is, the level of certainty on this treatment equals this response based on your genetics and based on the medicine that we have out there right now.
Yeah.
I would say 25 years ago, it was a 25% certainty. Whereas today, it's a 60% certainty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's targeted medicine today. And it wasn't back then. Now, I do think there is some luck or some intervention or whatever you want to say when you went through treatment. I think they guessed the right things at the right time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't based on all of this encyclopedia of genetics and targeted medicine equals this response. It just wasn't there back then.
Right.
And we got lucky.
Yeah. No, it feels like to me, if you were to look at like a dartboard, I feel like the dartboard's gotten smaller, right? Mm-hmm. It is still a little bit of a, oh, I hope we hit the bullseye, but it's not as much of a shot in the dark.
Right.
And we have to talk about the fact that the treatments that I endured were really hard. Yeah. There were many people who died during the stem cell transplants.
That's why they don't do that anymore.
That's, yes.
If you haven't heard, listened to that episode.
Right. You know, I didn't. I was at time, I don't know how close I was, but I will say I do remember very vividly being told that I had pneumonia while in the hospital doing my first stem cell transplant and just thinking, is this going to be it? Right? Like, is this going to be it? Because it's, you're not going to die of breast cancer. You're going to die of your something else that comes, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's just so important, you know? And I would say, I mean, we've talked a lot about your relationship with your doctor. If you don't trust your doctor and you don't feel like they have your best interest, then by all means, find a doctor or find a different doctor. But also, like, these oncologists have experience.
And the other big thing is 25 years ago then, it was very localized as to what the treatment would be for this type of diagnosis and this metastasis and the age of the person. It was very much localized in, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And if you went to the Cleveland Clinic, this is what we do. If you went to Mayo, this is what we do.
Right.
It was today, that is not the case. They share this database.
Are they sharing, I feel like it's, and when you were talking about localized at first, I was thinking about, it felt like it was a chase of the cancer. It was like, oh, it's here. Now we got to find it. Where's it going? We got to chase it down. Now it's more the other way. We can use an agent that can stabilize the system versus, oh, it's here. It feels to me like it was a little bit more like whack-a-mole back in the day. And now it isn't. Also, we have to talk about the fact that if you are on immunotherapy or something like that, it might be really tolerable. And guess what? That's awesome. That's a great thing, right? But we have to relinquish those old ideas of, oh, if I'm not bald or if I'm not puking or if I'm not all of these things, then what the then medicine not is not working.
Yeah, I mean, guys, the immunotherapies and the hormone therapies that are today and very, very effective didn't exist 25 years ago in the effective. They were just starting these research on these things that are now proven.
Right.
There's data now. Now, it's not 100%. And this disease sucks. And especially when you're dealing with the stage four, and it sucks. But they are still very effective and ridiculously more effective than even 10 years ago.
Right. And so I guess I would say with that, I just feel like you, I want to say you're hurting yourself. You can tell me that I'm full of shit. But like, if there's no buy-in to what you're doing, then I just feel like you're losing out on a really strong tool, which is your mindset.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, looking back on the chemotherapy that Heather did and the radiation and the stem cell transplant and the surgeries and all of those things, the reason I believe, which I have no medical backing of this right now, but the reason I believe that she's still here is the mental side of how she approached everything and the power of the brain, for lack of better words, to heal us.
Mm-hmm.
And our brain controls our immune system. Our immune system kills cancer. Yes, these medicines and these things we put
in our
body,
they block the estrogens. They do the things we need them to do.
They absolutely do. And the reason I believe she is still here is because of that strong mental approach, which, going back to today and the reason we're talking about this, it is literally the opposite. When you get into that negative mindset of, this is not what I want, and this shouldn't be this, and this, you know, or whatever that negative is, oh boy, You got to get yourself out of that. Or you do. You do need to go see a different oncologist. Or you do need to get yourself... Yeah. Or develop a level of trust in the treatment that's going on there. Because that's not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah, I guess I just feel like if you and your treatment can't be friends, like, this, it's not... You're losing a really potentially strong partner, right?
No doubt.
And, I mean, I again, let me reiterate, I get it that you want to, like, attack it, but these medicines are, they are doing exactly what you want them to do.
Yeah.
The great thing about it is they're doing it in a way that you don't have the side effects that you, that I had.
In a much more civilized way.
Yes, yes. And, you know, when you're diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, at least for me, it was more about, okay, what do I want this life to be? What is important to me, right? Like, how do I want to live this one life that I've been given? And I didn't want to live it on the couch. And I had to for a while at different times, right? And even then, it would be like, I'm going to get back up. If you don't have to do that, like, what a great thing. And you know what? People get years and years on these drugs, first line. I have friends who've been on them for 7, 8, 9 years. People do get them. Sometimes they're their magic bullet. I am stable on Faslodex, which didn't come along until 5 years after all of my treatment, right? So all of this crazy treatment that I did, we still were getting small progressions. And then this drug came along. And I've been on it for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know? So, and it's super tolerable. I'll take the scar tissue in my ass, right? Like, it's totally doable. So, I guess for me, it's just kind of like less can be more. And I have applied that. I think it's also true in so many other parts of your life. This lack of... To be able to, instead of see something as a lack, but to be able to see it as, this is enough, is such a huge thing, right? And I feel like that applies also to, like, so many other things. Nutrition.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. We all could, if we had the means and the time and the money and the knowledge, we could eat a perfect diet every day, right? But I don't think that's reality for most people.
It's probably the reason why most people go back to a pretty poor diet.
Yeah.
Is they make all the changes that they want to make. Most of the time, it's time and money is the reason why you don't continue doing that.
Yeah.
And then instead of just taking a few things from that and really, truly applying them, because you do have the time, you do have the money, you do have the resources to do that, just these few things. And now your diet is healthier than it was before because you just changed, but they're lifelong changes. Instead, they just go, that didn't work. And they go back. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Again, and like...
Less is more.
Less is more with that. And think about, we're talking about going back. You have already developed this mindset of what treatment's supposed to look like or what nutrition's supposed to look like. You have to question yourself about that. Like, it's just really important, you know? And give yourself the credit for the things that you're doing or the belief in something that maybe you know, isn't making you throw up. Nutrition is huge that way.
So, for example, before we move on from nutrition, you know, if your diet, which a lot of people's diet exists of zero fruits and vegetables a day.
Yeah.
That's most Americans. Yeah. Zero fruits and vegetables a day. If you eat one fruit and one vegetable every day, your diet is healthier. You are getting these nutrients that you were not getting before. If you could possibly vary them, even better.
And by vary, I would say, not day to day, buy apples and eat the apples until they're gone. But then go on, then move to something else, right?
Again. So if nothing else, that. Or if you're just like, no, I eat fruits and vegetables, that's it. Okay, What about your grains?
Yeah.
Switch them to whole grains. Stop buying white grains and start buying brown grains. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that's the breads, the cereals, the pastas, those kind of things. Maybe that's your one change. But that one change is ridiculously healthy and has really long-term good consequences of that. And it's one thing you can do and you can stick to it. It's just going to the grocery store and instead of buying that pasta, you're buying that pasta. Instead of buying that bread, you're buying the whole grain bread.
Yeah.
And it truly is a minor thing that you can do that has major impacts.
Yeah.
And then, you know, other things become a little hard. You know, the preparation of the food, that's the hard stuff there. And what sauces are you using? Are there healthier sauces you can use or condiments that you can use? Those are huge, impactful things too. And if you just pick one of those things and try to stick with it for a couple of months, it becomes a habit. And then pick one more thing instead of just... You know, and I am, this is the, you know, a fear of watching this. Well, here's what Heather did.
Yes. That's what, that's the pro, that is my biggest, I think, hurdle with all of this is I think people hear my story. They say, well, her treatments aren't available to me, blah, blah, blah. And therefore it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or...
The treatments didn't matter. They mattered.
Yeah.
But I think a number of different things would have worked with the mentality that she had about the effectiveness of them and what she was going to do and the effectiveness of eating that apple that day. The effectiveness as we go on, fitness.
We're going to talk about,
Might as well just jump right into that. The effectiveness of that walk. Right. What did that just do to the cancer inside of me and picturing that? That's real, guys. I am not like a holistic medicine person. No, I get sick, I'm going to the doctor, and what do you got for me? I'm taking it. That is me. But just from just the years of watching her and seeing, you know, the truth is that other people got the same exact treatment as Heather. Exactly the same as Heather. Very, very similar age, very, very similar diagnosis, and they died. And they died a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking a lot of people did. So, okay, if that's all the same, then you got to say that's a variable that you can't count because you have these different outcomes. So you got to look at the variables that everybody didn't do. And I think she's really unusual in, okay, you eat that or you go for that walk, and what did that do to the cancer and the mental... The picturing behind it is what made you unusual there.
Yeah, I will say, and we're going to talk about this more in a episode pretty soon here.
Okay.
But this is, it also comes back to, I'm not going to beat myself up for things. Mm-hmm. And I am going to find what I did that was a positive. You know what I mean? I'm going to focus on it that way. And it matters. I don't negative self-talk myself. Sometimes I'm disappointed in myself. It doesn't mean that. But I'm not going to go for a walk and then be like, oh, and you should have done this and this and this. Like,
When you hear about your friend went and jogged a 10K.
Yeah, I have tons of friends who run and run like the wind. And that's not me. And do I aspire to it sometimes? Absolutely. But also, I'm not going to let that take away from the work that I do put in or the walking that I do or any of that kind of stuff, right?
And again, the same example of fitness as we talked about with nutrition. You're not going to start out on, I hope you don't attempt to start on day one and do a 3-hour workout and do strength and do cardio and do flexibility and do core.
Right.
Oh my Lord, no. I mean, you're going to fail miserably.
And you're going to be injured.
The same example with nutrition. Pick one thing.
Yeah.
You know, when you're going through treatment, do something.
Yeah.
You know, don't let people talk you into, you should just go to bed. Yes, you're going to be tired, and yes, you need more sleep. Absolutely. But, man, our body thrives on oxygen coming to our brain and getting to our tissues, and it just thrives on that, so...
And so, I mean, this is the thing, like, there's always excuses. You can make a million excuses, but if you just kind of incorporate things in an easy way, stand up and move your legs.
Sure.
I march in place sometimes. I'm just like, you know, I live in a hotel room and sometimes the weather's crappy and I can go but if I don't feel like I want to go even down to the weight room or whatever, I'll just stand up and move. Like
mm-hmm. Balance.
Balance is great. Like yeah. So, I mean, I just think again, but that comes from, let's think about less being more versus...
Less is more if you are continuing.
Yeah.
Less is not more if you do it for a day and don't do hardly anything. Right. That's not what we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about long-term, change your life stuff. Less is definitely more now.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, then I think about the other things where I fight with this kind of stuff. Less is more in terms of screen time. I think the research is just going to continue to tell us that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, put your phone down. I've been trying, even this is funny, and this is so dumb, but I've realized how tethered to my phone that I am. Like, I've been putting it across my desk at work. Like, over here, you know? And it's really just one big stretch away kind of thing. But I'm like, yeah.
But your brain processes that.
It does.
You have to make a decision versus a reflex.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, let it be farther away from you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't deal with phones when I was going through my initial treatment. You know what I mean? But again, like, that's just I don't know. I do think less is more. I think about the best days of my life. This is how I really think about it. The best days of my life did not include me being on my phone. And so therefore, I'm not, you know, saying that I will have those days every day, but it does leave me more open to explore and do the things that I want to do when I don't just spend time scrolling.
Very true.
You know. I was thinking too, less is more in terms of alcohol. These are things in my life, right? Like mm-hmm. I didn't drink at all when I was first diagnosed. Drinking to me is not something that I feel like I necessarily struggle with, in terms of like an addiction or anything like that. So, I mean, again, take that with a grain of salt, but like, but I've just found like, can one beer do what four does, right? Like, and I think it can, you know, and I just think it's really for me about having something in my hand. So, I don't know. I was just, yeah.
Well, and I mean, cancer just in general and alcohol don't go together.
Right.
Alcohol and a healthy lifestyle don't go together.
Right.
They just don't.
Right.
But I do like a beer every now and then.
And that's okay. I think that's the thing, though. It is like, you know, I mean, even a lot of our social gatherings have alcohol at them. We do, you know, but it's like, okay, nobody's judging you what you're drinking at those things, you know.
Not
and,
at all.
And, yeah, I don't know. I just know, I feel like the older I get, the more... A couple beers, it definitely affects my sleep. It just makes me, I don't feel as good. So, anyway.
Yep.
That's my less is more. The other thing I was just going to add about all of this is I do feel like when we are constantly on the more is more train, that it leads to overwhelm, right? So, mm-hmm. More means more to manage to me. More means more balls to keep up in the air. More is not always better, you know, and that's from, I don't know, that just comes, it just makes, yeah, more to manage, I feel like. And so I think being happy with the things that you're doing, and maybe trying to simplify things a little bit is a good way to go. So
I'm not good at that.
No.
No. I like being really busy.
I don't mean busy necessarily. Yeah. I just mean like, the more...
No, I'm not great at relaxing. I have to practice that. Like when we go on vacation, I still want to go.
Yeah, but that's it's okay.
Yeah. I'm not... It takes me days to get into the, oh, we can just sit here for an hour type of thing. That just goes against my brain. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess when I look at that, though, I feel like you can sit and do nothing if that feels good to you, but I like to sit and be able to chat for an hour or whatever, that kind of thing. It doesn't have to be doing in that respect for me, but I don't know. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Some random thoughts about that. And again, it really does come back to if you're looking at treatment and how that feels to you or whether or not, I would consider asking yourself, like, do I believe in this? Is this working for me and why? And I would also take it a step farther to go, if your oncologist is recommending something and you don't believe in that, do you need to challenge your belief or their, expertise, I guess, because, our beliefs, what we've been taught and how it's just what we know. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right thing.
Right.
So, yeah. All right. Like, subscribe, share, follow.
Or don't.
Or don't. But, be all in, right? On your treatment in that respect. It doesn't have to be big. Nope. In fact, it should probably just be little things.
Just got to believe in it.
Just believe in it. All right. We'll see you next time.
Hey, everyone. I hope you love this episode of I'm Still Here, and I wouldn't want you to miss out on what comes next. So be sure to rate, review, and follow this show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, especially if you found it helpful. We need all the shares, likes, stars, and love we can get. We'd also love to hear from you. Leave your comments and questions, and we'll incorporate them into future episodes. Have a great day.